Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today, Dan, we are starting a new book.
Mm-hmm.
We are starting The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet.
Yep.
By Becky Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it in thirds. So this is another one where they don't number the chapters. But we are have stopped at chapter called The Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. Let me warn folks first that it's going to be a heavy warm-up episode. I don't know how long it's going to be.
Luke had homework.
But it's going to be, I had homework and I did it and I want to talk about it. And yeah. So look at the, if you don't want to listen to us talk about something non-book related for a really long time, check out the description in the show notes where to skip to.
Before we get to Luke's homework, though, I do have to make a Thanksgiving announcement for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a Dan Thanksgiving announcement. I don't know about you, Luke. I'm a pumpkin pie guy.
Okay.
Okay. Pumpkin pie has been supplanted in my pie hierarchy.
Oh.
And it's been supplanted by, drumroll please, sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie.
Have you ever had this?
I've had sweet potato casserole that's often very sweet.
Nope. Different thing. Okay.
Okay.
Sweet potato pie, very similar to pumpkin pie. Okay. I think it's seasoned like basically the same way. The main difference here, texture for a sweet potato pie, it's like a little bit denser. Like it's a little bit thicker. And it's not quite as like wet as a pumpkin pie. Because like pumpkin pie is good.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a little too loose sometimes for me. I want a little bit tighter pie. And
we can't go too far on this. But
yeah.
It's going to be quick. Are you confident that that's intrinsic to sweet potato versus pumpkin?
Okay.
More so than just this particular?
I'm fairly certain that it is intrinsic to the pies.
Okay.
But I could be, you know, I will say these two pies, both store-bought. Okay. So it's not like these were homemade pies.
Okay.
But they were from the same store. So we're trying to control variables here.
Yeah. Good.
But I think it was intrinsic to the pie itself. And I think that the texture of sweet potato pie was just like so much better than a pumpkin pie.
All right.
So I'm just have to make that announcement. Sweet potato pie officially in Dan's hierarchy of pies has supplanted pumpkin pie indefinitely.
As number one?
Oh, fuck.
No, don't do that. Okay,
we can't do that. We need to talk about your homework. Now. That'll be another warm-up for another day. Luke, tell us about pheromones, because on our Discord, you were getting a little roasted by a hurry. And I appreciate it because I don't remember if it came out in the episode or not, but the whole time you were talking about this, I was like, oh, Luke thinks he has a lot more free will than he does. Luke thinks we're very different from animals. And a hurry was just backing me up on this, and I'm just with it. Whether or not I said it on air, but I was thinking it, and a hurry is just voicing it for us on the Discord. So thank you, a hurry. Luke, tell us about pheromones, please.
Okay. So yes, this came up in our previous episode where my take is boiled down to basically pheromones in humans don't affect us.
Yeah.
In any way.
We're immune. We're immune to the wiles of pheromones.
Yes. So I did some diving mm-hmm. on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I spent some time on it.
Okay.
So this is going to be
Luke, I'm ready.
I have to do several caveats.
Okay. Good. This is important for any science reporting.
That's right.
Give us the caveats, Luke.
Caveats number one is this is not my field.
Agreed. Okay. Neither is it mine. We are both chemists, but this is definitely not
pure chemistry. I'm an engineer, first of all.
All right.
Environmental engineer.
Fine.
And so I tried to engage with the literature, mm-hmm. as we say,
mm-hmm.
and just time limit wise, I could only do so much.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And also, one thing that I want to note that people might not be familiar with is it's very difficult to say that you are knowledgeable about a subject through just reading articles.
Oh, because so hard.
You have to rely on your judgment on which articles are impactful. And that's very difficult if you can't talk to someone that's actually like important or actually like knowledgeable.
Yeah, an expert. So, unless you talk to an expert, it's hard to figure out what are the good papers and what are the shit papers. Yeah.
Yes. And that's a big one.
Yep.
A lot of people don't think about this either. A lot of papers aren't good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called it's called pay to publish, folks, and it's not good.
Well, even setting aside the pay to publish thing.
Sure.
Like the pay to publish ones are obviously bad, but also there's a lot of literature out there that's like not necessarily or like could be contradicted later or like maybe they make a claim that is like not quite as backed up as they say. Anyway.
Okay. Yep.
These are all the caveats.
Okay.
That I'm trying to make it clear that if you are a behavioral psychologist listening to this, I apologize in advance.
Come on the pod. Well, don't come on the pod, but get on the Discord and tell Luke how he's wrong. Actually, Luke, before we get too deep into this, yeah. I am going to talk to, since I work at a college, we have a cognitive and behavioral psychologists on campus. I'm going to talk to them this week.
Okay.
I couldn't last week because we were all on Thanksgiving break. This week we're back. I'm going to go check in with them. So whatever you say here, okay. I will verify and I'll come back next week with an even more nuanced take.
Okay. We are barely going to talk about the book during these three episodes, but it's going to be good. It's going to be a good discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
So
first, what's a pheromone, Luke?
Okay, pheromones, what I saw is like a very broad definition, is basically like something that one person, I'm going to use person just because we're talking about humans, but excretes that like creates an effect in another person.
Can we say a chemical that they excrete? Because like...
Yeah, okay, yes.
Okay.
We don't have to like okay to some you guys know I'm not talking about like
screaming.
okay,
an effect.
Okay,
I mean that could be. Okay, Luke, you need to get a little bit more specific here because if I spit in your face, you're gonna be upset.
Okay, obvious. You know you're fighting me on the definition here, but
when you
like
say
we're talking about like microscopic chemicals.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Not like and yeah, this needs to be like a biological chemical effect, right?
And would we say that the areas that they're detected are consistent? Like would we say that they're detected by your olfactory or like mouth? Or is this not always true?
I don't think it's always true.
Interesting.
I think we typically think of it as olfactory, but I don't think it should be limited to that because I think a lot of it is transdermal as well.
Okay, this is incredible, Luke. Go now. I'm just gonna let you go because it sounds like you know some stuff. Please tell us.
Okay. First off, I'm going to break this down into the like three levels of no. This one is not scientific. This is my breakdown of how people believe in pheromones.
Ooh.
Like our cultural understanding of
okay. it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I like this.
Okay. And the first one is like the way that we think of pheromones in like animals, which are like that they have an animal will have a physical response that is like uncontrollable and like significant. Like we use this chemical to induce a, like, I don't know, female cow or something to like begin some process.
Yeah.
Because they have like, it just like happens.
Yeah.
That's like very high level.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a thing in animals and like bugs and stuff, not a thing in humans. Okay.
Okay. So I can't walk around with like an Axe body spray filled with, I don't know, pheromone A. And have everybody like, I don't know, start sneezing or
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you can, maybe they'll start sneezing depending on how much you're, but, so, okay. The main thing here is that we humans don't have the organ that detects these that is found in most animals.
Oh, so this is like a specific category of pheromone that you have to have an organ, like a specialized organ, to detect it in this category?
Yes. It's, I forget what this stands for, but it's like the VNO or something like that.
Whoa.
Now, okay, because I don't want to get over my skis here, Dan.
yeah, love it.
It's, there's some blurring of the lines here, because like these we can, like, it's, you can't just say that there's like one specific organ, because like we do detect things, but like the main organ, we don't have it. Okay.
Do you know where it dropped off? Because like, where do we go back? Where do we go back to see where we lost this or where it's getting?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. Maybe it is there. I think it's like,
is it vestigial?
I think it's vestigial.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay.
Okay. So that's level one. And I think that one's pretty much like, I think most people know this, is that like, there's not a chemical that provokes an uncontrollable response in us.
No, not really.
Because we would probably know that already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now level two, okay, is, can we detect pheromones at all?
Okay. Now, this is what you're saying when people are making like perfume with pheromones in it to like cause you to fall in love with them and things like that.
Yes. Okay. I think that's an extreme case, but I think this is the one with the most evidence for it.
Okay.
The first one is like a very good example, is that like babies, for example, like suckling babies. I don't know, remember the details of this, but this one's like pretty established.
What is established, Luke?
It's basically that like something, I forget what it is, but encourages babies to like actually start suckling.
Like there is a pheromone emitted from a mother.
Yeah.
That encourages baby humans to start suckling.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. This
is the one that I did not dive in because I was like, okay, that's fine. Whatever.
Luke believes this one.
Now, that one is an example of, it's like a baby that like has not experienced life at all. And so like I can the other one that I think has the most relevance for adult humans is, I forget how to pronounce, it's AND or something like that.
Okay.
Whatever. We don't care about the actual name.
Yeah. Is this an acronym, AND?
Yeah, it's like the name of a chemical.
That's fine.
And this is the one that is in male sweat, more so.
Okay.
And it's probably the one that you have heard about if you've heard of like some of these studies.
Yeah.
This one, like, so the, there, I read like a review paper.
Uh-huh. Good.
And then I like clicked on one of the studies that they referenced.
Damn.
In the review paper, got random just because like, and read through that one just to do it.
Wow. I'm loving this, by the way. Do you remember, before we get too deep into this, do you remember what journal you were looking at, by the way?
I have it up right now.
Okay, great. Let's see. What's the journal that you were looking at?
Okay, the literature review on this is Facts, Views, and Vision in OBGYN.
Okay. Okay.
This was also really nice because I can still go through my previous university for some reason.
Love it.
To get the full text of these, which was clutch.
I've been kicked out of that already, which is too bad, but I that's great for you.
Now here's the thing. This is going to be a science thing.
Okay.
Yeah. That we need to talk about. Okay. And this is why this warm up is going to last forever.
Yeah.
Because we're going to weave in and out of detailed science nonsense versus pheromone, and then also talk about pheromones.
Yeah.
Review papers are a great place to start.
Absolutely.
But if they're a great place to get references to follow up on.
Yep. Yep.
But you do have to click on those references and read through them. Because the people that write the review paper are not necessarily doing a good job of explaining the paper. And in fact, will often make claims that like exaggerate the effect.
Right. Okay. And this is especially because usually authors of a review paper are in a particular part of that field, and they are trying to set up or like bolster the need for their research. A lot of the time, not always, but a lot of the times, at least in chemistry, when I was getting a PhD, people would write review articles in a subject that they were actively studying with an emphasis on the area, the particular part of that field that they were actively studying, to be like, and that's why my research kicks ass.
Right, right. There's that part of it. And then also there's the part of it that's like less actively biased. Yes. And more just like there's just like errors that are often sure. made, or like you have to summarize, you have to say the point of a paper in like one or two sentences.
Yeah.
And like often that leads to a very non, like the original article is like very nuanced.
Yeah.
And then the sentence in the review paper is not.
Yeah.
Is what happens.
Yeah.
And so this is actually really important in this topic, because I think a lot of the times what happens is that people that want to do some research will read a review article,
mm-hmm.
and every single thing in the review article makes it seem like there's a big effect.
Mm.
And then when you go to the actual article, it's like, technically this is statistically significant, but when you look at the figure, it's like, that's not...
You've got your error human bars vision that are like standards, barely like, that's overlapping.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you'll see sentences that are like, this caused arousal in women by this, or like much more so than men, or something like that. And then when you look at the actual data, it's like, did it? But you're like three levels removed, so it's very hard to get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so people don't do that.
Yeah.
That's an aside.
Okay.
So to me, let's get back, because we're at the level two thing of the belief in pheromones, of can we detect pheromones?
Well, and it sounds like, Luke, we have found one instance. It sounds like babies, mothers, there's some detection going on there.
Yes. Okay. I think that's there. Okay. Yes, for sure.
So then the question
this other one that we also think about that is like kind of the original context of this, which is that like, does this make people like
mate pairs?
Can we detect
mate pairing?
Yes. And
well, and Luke, I do want to say here, hold on, because we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. There's a difference between detecting pheromones and having your behavior impacted by it.
Yes.
Right? Because I think purely if we're trying to answer the question, can we detect pheromones? It seems like babies can do it. So humans can do it.
Yes.
I think
this is a good point.
The bigger question we're trying to ask here is, if we can detect pheromones, and do those pheromones significantly impact adult physiology and behavior?
Right. Yes. And I think the question, like, it's not super settled on either of those, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm not super convinced that, well, actually there, you would think that if they affect behavior, we would have to be able to detect them. But actually a lot of the claims are that they're like subconscious, right? So those two are actually like not necessarily mm-hmm. connected to each mm-hmm. other. Anyway, I think there's a lot of mixed results here.
Interesting.
And there's a lot of like papers that I think show this, and they're like, it induced this effect in women that is more so than men, or like in reverse in men.
Yeah.
And it's like, so that must mean like this thing. The actual paper that I read, it was like, okay, there's like when they actually did like a self-report like mood thing, there's no difference. But then when they measure like skin voltage or something
Jesus.
Like that,
okay, yeah,
they find something, and then they call that arousal.
Okay, come on.
And it's like, that's not what we typically think of as arousal. Like
you're not going to a bar and like sampling the skin voltages of people and being like, oh, she thinks he's hot. Okay.
Right. So okay, this is the one example of the actual article that I looked to that did the literal science.
Yeah.
Found no difference in like reported mood.
Yeah.
You know?
Can you, Luke? I'm curious here because you read the article. Can you break down like how they do this experiment? Do you remember? Because I'm having a hard time figuring out how you could even design an experiment to test this because there's so many factors. There's so many factors that you're trying to disentangle here. Like it's a nightmare. It sounds like a nightmare to design an experiment.
It's a great question. And they reference each other a lot in like how they did it differently from other people. Yeah. So in the one that I read, they have, this is a psychology experiment, right? Which what that means is that there are about 20 undergraduate students who are taking the class that this professor teaches.
Always undergrads.
Anyway, they're just like, what has happened here is that the professor is like, do this and you'll get
extra credit.
You'll get extra credit in class. That's how these experiments are done, and or the volunteers are recruited. And then for this one, they do a lot of controlling of like when it's going to happen, they control like the room to try to make sure that there's like no like other
stimuli and things like that.
Stimuli in the room, basically.
Wait. So they just pump this pheromone in, apropos, like there's nothing going on. And
no. They don't pump it in.
Okay.
So they'll take like a baseline. Well, it'll be like maybe they do a survey or something like that.
Yeah.
That's for the like, you know, mood, self-reported mood response where they do a survey.
Okay.
And then they'll like, you know, hook them up to some like whatever physiological response measurements.
Yeah.
And then in this one, they have the chemical dissolved in a like water or something in
like
a jar,
like an essential oil diffuser or something. Oh, they're sniffing it. Okay. Yeah.
That's in this one. Some other ones, they like put it on their upper lip or something like that.
Okay.
And one thing I want to say is that the concentration of this quote unquote pheromone is way higher.
Insanely high.
Realistic.
Yeah.
So that is also like, I think an important factor to consider here.
Yeah.
When you're talking about whether it actually like affects our behavior.
Yeah.
And then they'll like, you know, they have a control, right? They'll do like the pheromone one day, and then they'll do like baking soda the next day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something. Some of them I think are pretty, or slightly different changes on this, but that's what this one was.
Yeah.
So they find like there's no statistical difference for the mood.
We should also say, Luke,
difference for
them calling it a pheromone, like it unless it demonstrates a pheromone like effect, it's not necessarily even a pheromone, right? Like they're calling this molecule a pheromone, but if it doesn't actually signal anything and cause any kind of like
okay, to be fair, I am
okay,
but like when they do it, they just like say NDA.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So they are trying to establish that this is a pheromone. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. But they'll measure, maybe sometimes they'll measure an effect on like some of these more obscure things.
Yeah.
And then you'll also see on the review paper, it'll be like, but then that was a contradictory effect in this other paper, blah, blah, blah. but then the big thing is that they call this like a arousal.
Okay.
And it's like, okay. That's where it's getting confusing, because you're saying that this unrepresentative concentration caused people's skin voltage to increase by a slightly statistically significant amount, and saying that it means that this chemical causes arousal in women. And I don't know. Especially, I think everyone is trying to be responsible here, but there's like a game of telephone being played.
Well, and I think that the reason why I was having just the hardest time coming up with an experiment is because it feels wrong to try and separate a pheromone with, like, if your purported, you know, if their hypothesis is that this pheromone induces arousal in women, and that's why, like, men's sweat has it in it, right? If it's trying to induce arousal in women. Disentangling the chemical from a physical male body, from a man's body, is like, that's not a realistic test scenario. You need to have a man in the room exuding the chemical and then have another one. Like, you need to have it that you spray on to like a hot man's body. And then in another case where he's like been genetically changed so he doesn't emit this chemical anymore. And then, but then you need to have like the same women controlling for the hotness of the man. So you have to like memory erase them from the first time they see him to the second time they see him.
Right.
So that you could control for just the subjectivity of how women find men attractive or not. And I'm like, it feels like it's a never ending labyrinth of like variables that you can't control.
It's very difficult. And I think someone hearing me talk about this might initially be me thinking I'm saying that like psychology isn't good science.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yes.
Psychology is very difficult.
Yes. I 100% agree.
It's incredibly hard to isolate things.
Yes.
And also you have very few data points, right? Because these are taking place with like 20 people.
Yes.
And you have to, and yeah, it's just, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
So, okay, I think overall with this one, it's like, there's like some studies that say, and they have like found this chemical that we think might be a pheromone. And there's like some studies that say it kind of does this thing and like maybe, but not a huge effect, right?
Have they found, now Luke, I will say, have they found any like mechanisms for this? Like, have they found a receptor for the pheromone that they can show has like a pathway or anything like that?
I didn't see that.
Okay.
That's not to say it doesn't exist, gotcha. But it's not something that I found.
Because that could be another way that you show that, like, all right, there's this receptor. We're trying to figure out what kind of a signal it's sending, but it seems to be sending. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Most of the time, and this will come up in a second, most of the time when people do this, and this is something that irks me to no end, people will find an effect, and then you have to ask, like, okay, where... how did that come about?
Yeah.
And it's always like saying evolution is just a cheat code.
because you can, it's like, oh, apparently we say what the reason was. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it is, you can be used to explain any effect.
Correct.
And you'll see that here in a second.
Okay, great.
Now, okay, so that's level two. Now we're going to talk level three, which is the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I think that people talk about in a way that's insane. Okay.
All right.
And this is, do we make decisions for individual people based on what I'm going to call scent fingerprints?
Okay.
So previous one was like a pheromone where it's just like,
oh,
this chemical causes an effect in humans.
Yeah.
Now what I'm talking about is like people being able to differentiate between different humans.
Right. This is the difference between one chemical. Yeah, I got you. So just blasting a whole room with one chemical versus you being able to pick out different people's like,
yes,
scent fingerprints. Okay, great.
People think this is so real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
It's insane.
Okay, well,
and Luke. And I'm uncomfortable saying that it's not real at all.
Okay.
But I'm going to take a swing at it.
Okay. I love it. What is the science?
And
I'm gonna do
two things actually. I'm gonna start with the things that people say colloquially, and this is a very non-scientific thing.
Yeah.
But this is what people say on like Reddit, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll see I've looked through a few Reddit posts, as you do.
Yeah, you got to. That's a good
start. Tons and tons of anecdotes about liking or disliking how someone smelled and it being predictive of something in the end, right? I really liked the way that this person smelled and we got married, whatever.
Yeah.
Or like, I was dating this girl and I really didn't like the way that she smelled and we ended things horribly, whatever.
Yeah.
Tons of these. And like, those are two very basic examples, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
Another one that I saw like multiple times was that a marriage counselor considers it a red flag if one of the people complain about how the other smelled. Okay.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, that means they're probably not suited for each other and they're going to get divorced.
Or
and
they like, just stink.
And like, if a person comes in and is like, she smells like shit. Okay. Be like, yeah, that's a red flag. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
This is one that it's going, like, I just saw this maybe twice.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing it up just because I want to make fun of it.
Yeah.
This is the claim that the main evolutionary driver behind kissing is to get your nose close to your partner to smell their pheromones.
Come on.
Love this one. Insane to say that. People say this. You know, there's like a famous tweet that's like, people out here are just saying things that aren't true.
Yeah.
And the example in the tweet is Charlie Brown had hoes. And then they're like, no, he didn't. That isn't true.
It's objectively not true.
This is what I was saying constantly when I was going through this. It was just like, that's not true. Okay. People are just saying things. And this is another one of like some scientists maybe like had a hypothesis sometime with like, maybe like the main evolutionary driver behind kissing is this thing.
Yeah.
And someone was like, oh, that's probably true. And then now we have to deal with it. It's nonsense.
And then
it's
there was like, nonsense. Yeah. Correct. It was a scientist who was like, man, why do we smush our faces together? Well, what if it's this?
Evolution.
Yeah. What if it's evolution?
Okay, the last one that I'm going to talk about in on Reddit actually is going to go into the science a little bit.
Okay. Yep.
Because it tries to get a little bit more scientific.
Good.
And this is a claim that you have probably heard.
Okay.
Which is, in studies, women prefer the scent of men who were fairly genetically similar, but not too genetically similar.
Okay. Yes. This is, I think, getting at what we were talking about a little bit last time. This was the thing that neither of us knew if was true or not, but both of us had heard about, like, immune compatibility or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, again, who are fairly genetically similar, but not too similar.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And the conclusion is essentially that humans are attracted to others who are genetically similar enough to increase productive offspring, but not too genetically similar to reduce the risk of inbreeding. Right?
Okay.
And I want you to consider that what this is describing is a study that found a null effect and tried to explain it. Because what you're saying is that, like, they want someone who's in the middle. Like, I'm trying to think of how to describe this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who are fairly genetically similar, but not too genetically similar.
Yeah.
And that's nothing. Because if you found a result that was an extreme, I would maybe believe you.
Mm-hmm.
If you found a result that was extreme in the other way, like, oh, that's interesting. But if you find a result in the middle, that's non-conclusive. And you can't take a non-conclusive result and then be like, oh, it means both.
Luke, are you saying it's not conclusive because when you average out two extremes, you tend to get to the middle? Or are you saying it's non-conclusive? Because I can imagine a situation where, like, every single person that they tested, and I would be curious to hear how they differentiate, like, different levels of genetic diversity, if it's just, like, the number of base pairs that are different between the two of you. But, I mean, because I agree with you if what they're doing is averaging a value and then realizing that the average is, like, in the middle. Because, yeah, that means you don't know anything there. Like, it could be a lot of things with this. But I feel like it could say, like, this could be saying something, right, about, like, if most people fall in that range. Am I wrong?
I guess the question is just, like, how would you get a result? Just, like, in like, how would you get there scientifically to saying, because you're saying that it's in the middle. How do you get from that it's not just that there's no result? Like, I genuinely don't understand.
So,
Well, okay, let's pause there because I read a review paper.
Love it. Go.
A separate one. And so this review paper is taking this idea.
Yeah.
And it's focusing on something called the major histocompatibility complex, MHC.
Yep.
Okay. This is what people are talking about.
Yeah.
And it's, the idea is basically people choose partners based on how similar/dissimilar their MHC is, and they're looking at this, and then so they look at
histo being like, immune cells, right? This is like,
yeah, okay. yeah immune, it's mostly immunity,
kind of immunity systems.
And so they look at number one, scent. That's the big one, right? Okay. Now scent affects our, like, if we're choosing partners based on this.
Yep.
They looked at facial attractiveness.
Okay, great. Great objective metric you can define.
And then finally, they look at long-term partners.
Okay.
So first let's talk scent.
Yeah.
So again, this is like, does scent predict how similar, like,
ooh,
someone's,
okay. Can you smell someone's they immune like, system?
Yeah. And do you like that or not?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what they find for scent is, like, some studies show a dissimilar preference. So you maybe prefer a, like, people that smell, it's not people that smell different from you. It's people by smelling something of theirs, you maybe choose something that's slightly dissimilar MHC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did read one of the articles, and the effect is very exaggerated in the review article.
Got it.
But there's, it's like maybe, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
We look at facial. Okay. Actually, hang on. I'm going to read a quote just to highlight how ridiculous I think this takeaway is, because some of these, and this is another pet peeve of mine, some of these, like, use statistics to get away from human judgment. That's what it's intended for, right? You want to take out, like, human judgment.
Yeah.
And you do, like, some objective metric.
Yeah.
I think at a certain level, that's a little bit problematic, especially with, like, low N numbers.
Yeah.
Like, low data sampling, because, like, you can get something that's statistically significant, and then I'll look at the figure and I'm like, that's not. Anyway, okay, let me read you a quote.
Yep.
A methodologically somewhat different experiment was performed by Jacob et al. They collected odor samples, again, t-shirts, from 6 men. 49 women took part in odor ratings.
Okay.
So you have 6 men.
And 49 women. Gotcha.
49 women that are rating these. Yeah. In this study, female raters were asked to choose a sample which they would most and least like to smell on an everyday basis.
Okay, weird criteria, but yes. Go on.
And they measure, and then they do that, and then they measure how many, like, alleles they share. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So the most preferred odor donors shared significantly more alleles, 2.3 on average.
Interesting.
With the raters. Than the least preferred donors, 1.5.
Okay, genetically similar, sure.
The median match between smeller and donor was 2. Mm-hmm. And the range is 0 to 7.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're talking about, like, the one is 2.3, the mean is 2, and then the other is 1.5, when the full range is 0 to 7.
So it's like, yeah, your it's percentage like not a huge difference here. Yeah, it's pretty small.
And then here's the big thing, okay, which is where I'm going to take issue.
Yeah.
Based on these figures, the author suggested that an intermediate genetic distance is preferred.
Okay.
Moreover, Dan, they found a higher preference for the smell of donors carrying the same alleles as the smellers inherited from their fathers, but not their mothers.
Oh, my God.
This is the kind of thing that I see a lot in this literature where it's like, okay, you found this that is statistically significant.
Yeah.
However, the claim that you are making is that people can tell the alleles that they inherit from their father, but not their mother.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
I think I love this for a lot of reasons. First, your sample size of 6 is insane that you're trying to make some kind of conclusion about if we can detect alleles from smell using this. Wild. The other thing that keeps coming up for this geographically, like, people in your geographical area, if you haven't moved a really far distance from where you grew up, are probably just going to be naturally more similar to you genetically. And we have, like, cultural like culture exists as well. And culturally, you might be more familiar with people that just like smell more like you. And so if you're sampling from people who are in your immediate area, like I feel like they need to control this with like somebody who lives in a different location, but also is similar genetically. Like there's so many variables. Once again, so many variables. You're trying to tell me you controlled for all of these variables with six dudes with sweaty t-shirts.
Right.
But no, go away. You didn't do anything.
Dan, okay. Also, I want to tell you that the MHC molecules that are associated with it are non-volatile.
What? How can you have a pheromone that's non-volatile? I guess you could have transdermal, like we were talking about transdermal. But how are you smelling?
No. Because the when they were trying to think of a way, they were like, maybe it like somehow affects the MHC affects the like microbes that are on your skin, and then that has a separate effect. And so it's like,
oh my god,
you guys, we're being crazy with this. We're being crazy.
Then show me the microbes or some shit. Like.
Okay. That's smell. Keep in mind that that was the one that showed the strongest effect.
Oh boy.
And it was slightly preference for different immune systems.
But like,
right? That's the claim percentage that you see wise, everywhere.
Not very different.
Right. That's the, and to be clear, this is the claim that you see everywhere where it's like you smell you, what you want is someone that is differently immune
Luke,
from you.
And I
to
think
create good offspring.
I'm fairly confident this is the study that I remember. Like this is, I think
there's
this
a ton
is
of
the
these
one.
That sound almost the exact same, but yes,
man, this is crazy. Okay. All right. Go on. Tell us about facial
one,
attractiveness.
Honestly, for this, I'm going to skip my notes because we're running so long.
Okay. I can imagine what's our conclusion, Luke, about this. Can I tell your immune system based on how attractive I think your face is?
Can you? What do you think?
I'm guessing probably not.
Okay, the claim here is mostly not, but some of the literature, the weight of the literature is actually in directionally opposite from the scent.
Okay.
Which means that there's a slight preference for people that have a similar immune system to you.
Yeah.
Now, okay, I just want to read this one thing to you.
Yeah.
Roberts et al. Proposed a hypothesis by which preference for odors of MHC dissimilar, but faces of MHC similar individuals, on average, might be a way of achieving an intermediate rather than maximal level of genetic variability in a preferred mate, since they could work in tandem to screen out either extreme.
These people have nothing. These people have nothing. I mean, this sucks that you did this big research study and you found nothing, but your hypothesis was bad. You came up with a bad hypothesis.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. This is somebody who like, who's heard about dogs going into heat and was like, huh, I wonder if people do that. And then just didn't really give up on it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk married couples. So these have a much bigger, much better data.
Yeah. It's easier because you just sample a married couple. And
it's
see
like, are you? Yeah, exactly. And many studies of this, no correlation.
What's okay, on? Come on, guys. This is obviously the best like situation you could come up with, right? You just have to like this controls for so many variables here. Is you just are like, what partner did you pick? Okay, let's look at their genetics. Because otherwise, what are we doing? Otherwise, it doesn't lead to any behavior. It's just like, yeah, I think that person smells hot or not.
I know exactly. Can I read you? Okay, I'm going to read you one more thing.
Yeah.
And this one is one of the funniest to me. So this comes after we go through several examples of studies that have found no correlation.
Yeah.
For married couples.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, just like couples that are like long-term couples.
Yeah,
I should
say.
Okay. Quote. However, each of these studies have been carried out in parts of the world where modern lifestyles could obscure odor cues and population mobility has maintained and probably increased heterogeneity in MHC allele frequencies, right? As you were talking about earlier.
Yep.
In contrast, Dan, a study based on Amazonian Indians avoids these problems and could provide an insightful measure of the true extent of disassortive mating. They used blah, blah, blah. This is science words.
Yeah.
data obtained from members of 11 different tribes.
Okay.
194 couples in totals.
Okay.
In total. Okay.
Pretty good.
I'm going to pause here for emphasis. Okay. And found no significant departure from levels of allele sharing expected under random mating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Folks, I know there is a whole field of study for this, and I have only done a little bit of it.
Yeah.
However, pheromones aren't real. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
Luke, I will say going into this, you were biased because you had a perspective that you wanted to verify.
That's correct.
However,
yes.
I will say, Luke, based on all you've told me, I think you've done your diligence. And now,
thank you.
Now I am going to bring this up to my colleagues
yes.
in psychology. I'm going to get, yes. I'm going to get an expert's take on pheromones. Okay. And I'll be back.
Well,
next
they're in a, well, they might not necessarily be an expert on pheromones, to be clear.
Sure. But they're in the field at least.
They're in the field.
They're in the field. Yep. And I can ask them about these studies that we've done. Luke, was there a third level? Because you said there were three levels to this. One being if we could detect... Oh, no, the fingerprinting one. Yeah, you already said it. You already said it, fingerprinting one. Okay, okay. All right. All right, Luke. Well, thanks for doing your homework. Well, I'll follow up next week. Should we start the episode now?
Yeah. What did you think? Was that longer or shorter than you thought it was going to be?
I think it was the perfect amount. I think it was the perfect amount. And when people see the description for this episode and they see that the skip is, looks like it's going to be about 45 minutes. I think they're going to think we have a typo in our description.
Probably. Yeah.
But I think,
that's real.
I think it's time to start talking about, The Long Way to a Small and Angry Planet, which it sounds like, Luke, at the very end of this section, we've realized where the title came from.
Yeah.
Because it seems like that's the mission we've been given. Before we get there, though, Luke, we got a lot of aliens. Can we just get a vibe check on some of these aliens that we're with right now? Can we just talk about some of the aliens we're with? First off, we got humans, okay? Basic stuff. We all know about those guys, okay?
I've heard of them.
We've heard of them. Then can we talk about Sizzix, the like reptile creatures?
The lizard folk.
The lizard folk. What do we like a little Argonian action? What do we think about these guys?
Are you talking about like aesthetically?
I think just general vibes. I think let me get this started right off the bat here. I think as like a spaceship faring civilization, they've got a lot of perks. But also a lot of drawbacks, mm-hmm. considering the claws sound like really inconvenient for a lot of how technology works still, for some reason.
Yes.
Especially when y'all designed the whole galactic community or whatever. Y'all were like a founding race for this, and you're still getting your claws caught on spaceships?
I will say, we've seen... I don't like. Do you think the spaceships for each race are like dramatically different, or species, I should say?
Right, but if you're a part of this federation, you got to have some ADA regulations, right?
Hopefully, yes.
So it doesn't really. I feel like it doesn't really matter that much, especially if you're going to be flying in a spaceship that is like diverse, that's got diverse life forms on
right.
it.
Yeah, but Dan, what you're forgetting though is that on the stair, one of the people laid down a little mat to help with it.
Okay.
So
yeah, great. I will say though, pros, not needing to eat very much.
Yes.
For somebody out in space,
that's true.
Not needing to eat very much, huge buff. Okay.
Pretty. Yeah, I think so.
Because think about it, Luke, the mass that you have to transport, way lower.
Okay, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you can use the residual heat, right? This is just like your research, Luke. Use the residual heat to also power the people in it.
You're talking about my actual PhD research, not my pheromone research.
Correct. Sorry, your actual PhD research. It is, though, right?
Yeah.
So I think pros and cons for these lizard folk. What do you think?
Pros and cons. Yeah. I think that's true. I will say we almost seem to be maybe like post, like, I don't know how much we're caring about mass at this point. Like, I realize that we very much do with our current understanding of how we would do space travel.
Yeah.
They have a lot of waste in here.
You're saying all the plants and stuff?
Yeah, and like a lot of, I don't know. So I don't think they're that concerned about it, but I do agree with you that there's pros. I don't know if would her preference for, actually no, she has preference for heat.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm into this, the lizard folk, I think.
Lizard folk, very
They
cool.
also seem very, because the other big thing is you need to be like socially cohesive.
Yes.
Right? If you're going to be in cramped quarters for a long time, mm-hmm. and they seem to be good at that.
They're very good at it.
It's an understatement, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, great. Can we talk about Dr. Chef, his species thing?
Right. Which I don't remember exactly what it is, but he's like a weird thing with like a bunch of legs.
He's like a blob with six legs that can also be used as hands. And he's got like a frog face. He's like a big, sort of Jabba the Hutt, but like kinder seeming is the vibe I get. A little bit more of a froggy face than a gross slug face. I feel like he needs to sing more. Is that a hot take?
Oh, because he has this like six voice undertone, whatever.
I feel like the music from this guy would be amazing.
I agree. Yes, absolutely. The harmonies.
Oh my gosh. I say incredible. Just let him talk. Be like, hey, can you just talk in your normal language for me for a while? It's incredible.
It is incredible. I do have a small note about their language.
Yeah.
His name takes like a minute to say.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why they're going extinct, Luke.
They waste so much time.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't do anything. Let's see. What else is there? They've got, okay, the big ones are the Cianaut, I think is their name.
Yeah.
Which is the one that bring in this virus that understands space really well.
Yeah, we need to talk about them.
Okay.
How?
What do you got?
You're not letting them in, right? You can't let them in. You can't, guys. They have a virus they call the Whisper that infects every single creature in their whole shit. And they don't let you study it at all. They're like, you cannot investigate this, but you have to let us on your ship, please.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, we promise it doesn't jump species or anything, and it's not trying to. We promise. No.
Yeah.
Sorry. You can stay in your own little special space corner over there, but you're quarantined because you.
Damn, they're good at. They're really good at it, though.
I don't.
You need them.
I don't. I don't care. That's exactly what they would be, is they would be really important for something so that they could go and it could jump species so that this virus could hybridize.
Here's the thing. So currently, as of now, in this, I'm going to call it a cohesive society, even though it's not there, the virus has not hopped
that we know of
species. Right? So that we know of, yes. So currently what they have said we view is true.
Yeah.
I think it was a mistake to say anything at all. Right? Just be like, hey, we're kind of weird. We consider ourselves two people, and that's just part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really good at space stuff. Don't even bring up, you don't even have to bring up the virus.
I see. I think the problem, Luke, the problem that you would encounter with that is it sounds like they have a really robust public health program. And
okay, sure.
So they're able to detect viruses pretty well. And like they have special immuno nanobots that keep us safe from all the crazy viruses and bacteria that's out there, which side note, I feel like just the differences in these alien species would allow for a fair bit of immunity to stuff.
Right.
Like, yeah, my blood isn't made of silicon and quartz crystals that are under high pressure from my blood vessels, so I don't have the same viruses that these creatures have.
Right, because so these are far more different from us than, like bird flu.
Yeah.
Probably.
This is like right. aliens yeah. that have evolved millions of years, billions of years, potentially, separate from us.
In a completely different environment.
Yeah, yeah. Their shit's completely different. They're not coming for us. It's amazing that we can eat the same things, frankly.
Right. This is a good point.
But
wait, but you started this as being concerned about the virus.
But Luke, this is a big concern because in this world they have established that viruses and bacteria can cross
sure.
species.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, sorry, your whisper is really useful, but it would be if it wanted to spread throughout the galaxy. So we can't let you on the ship, unfortunately. Maybe you should have asked before you infected all of your people with this virus that it's unclear if you even exist anymore or if this is all just a virus that's
right.
controlling these little creatures.
I want to see what, yeah, we got to do a double blind study. I want to see what one of you guys looks like without the virus.
Right.
Do you have your own personality? Does the virus, I don't know how much the virus changes, but.
It's a good question, Luke.
Yeah.
It's a good question because they're isolated. You know, it feels like socially they could be really struggling because of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have on here? We don't have one, but so there's a lot of other ones that we don't really see a ton of.
Yeah.
There's the ones that are apparently really hot.
Okay, we do have to talk
that
about
that our captain does that has a
yes
a situationship with.
Yes, we do have to talk about this. But before we talk about this, there's the other ones that are like the mollusk people with the tentacle faces.
Oh, that's right.
That are the like the shop.
We don't
people.
Have one on the ship, though, do we?
No, we don't have one on the ship. But then there is. I feel like there's one. Oh, they're the creatures that are currently at war with the hot ones.
Yes.
Which seem like scary, like covered in carapace and that
kind of thing. The big, they're really big and yeah.
And scary. But we do need to talk about Ashby here because
the captain,
I actually think that this shows how poor his judgment is. And I'm questioning if he should actually be the captain because Luke, I want to reiterate a little monologue he had about the hotness of these aliens. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So Ashby's like, of all the aliens out there, there's really only one of them that people are like really into. And then he lists all the other yeah. ones. He's like, these guys are horrific and nobody would be into them. And they would agree. These guys are scary. And so nobody could do it. And the lizard people, you have to really be kind of like into that to be down with the lizard people. First off, he's trying to tell me that nobody's into like a big squishy wet tentacle face guy for sex stuff. You have no idea the depravity that people would dive into, my friend.
Right.
Are you trying yeah. to say that you were well traveled and yet you're like, I can't imagine anybody would want to do it with one of those wet tentacle creatures. Have you been on the internet before, my friend? Because there's a lot
this
of
is
that
true.
Content
this is
out
true.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So that's the first angle here is that he just doesn't understand what people might find attractive. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I want to talk about the description he uses for these aliens that he says everyone is really into. And here's how
wait,
he...
can I also just say, yeah. can I also just say people would totally be into the lizards too?
100%. Are you kidding me?
Literally when Rosemary gets introduced to Sissix, I think
yeah.
she says that she's like striking or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, okay. I think she specifically says not in a romantic way, but she does say striking.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, people are about it with the lizards too.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Okay. So then he's trying to explain what's so hot about these fish people. Okay. And he's like, they have scales that are silvery, but smaller than the lizards. So more like a fish. And they have eyes that are slightly bigger, but not too big. And a mouth that's slightly smaller, but not too small. End of list. Sorry, Luke. I don't know about you, but when I think about like attractive features in people, I mean, there's two categories that people often put other humans into, especially women, and that would be ass and boobs.
Right.
He explicitly says they don't have boobs. He does not mention anything about if they have like beautiful hips. I think he says something about the fact that their bodies look male and female aliens have similar body shapes, and they're like, I don't think he says they're especially curvaceous.
Right.
So his criteria for why he seems to think everyone thinks these aliens are the hottest creatures is that they have fish skin and slightly bigger eyes and slightly smaller mouths than humans.
I will also point out, well, I guess mouths are distinct from lips, but
we don't know if they have lips. They might not. Literally, these could be fish. That he is like fish with legs and arms that he is into.
Yeah, but you're forgetting that he says that they're very graceful or something.
Oh, okay.
But that's like a very vague thing.
This guy is like so about it. I think here's the thing. He doesn't realize people could have different preferences from him. So he saw one of these and was like, holy shit, I need to sleep with you.
Yeah.
And he just assumes every other person out there is like, yeah, me too. No.
Right.
Absolutely not. You're crazy.
Yes. I agree with you.
Look. I'm not shaming him for this kink that he has, because frankly, this is a kink. And you know, you found another alien that's into your weird shit. Like, go for it. The two of you have fun. I don't know if your situation is great, but as long as you're both consenting to it, then have fun with it. But this isn't broadly applicable. This is like saying if you smelled her and she was like your perfect match or whatever, it must apply to everybody.
Right.
There's no, that's not anything. Okay, Ashby.
Ashby's walking around like, you know how we all think that this group of people is hot? And people are like, whatever you say, boss.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Ugh.
This is true. The descriptor, I didn't really think about, but it's very short on convincing me.
It does not explain why everyone would find them hot. Like, it's not using any conventional metrics that I would have expected here. It's just fishy scales. It doesn't say anything about their scent, their pheromone, which I would have expected.
Yeah. The pheromone is key.
Anyway.
Okay, and you're saying that this is a reflection on his judgment.
Yeah, I think as a captain, you got to be a little bit worried about a guy who's like convinced he knows the hottest aliens for everybody.
Right.
When he can't even tell you why.
I have another note on him being a bad captain.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
And this actually kind of extends more towards the group as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot his name, but there's one character who everybody dislikes.
I think it's Corin?
On the ship. Yes, Corbin or something like that.
Something like that.
And we open with Corbin complaining about a prank that was played on him, or an example of a prank that was. Do you recall this one?
Yes, where another crew member replaced a bunch of data with like naked pictures of themselves.
Yeah.
Correct. Harassment. Sexual harassment.
Jail. I'm sorry. Jail immediately. No.
Correct.
You cannot do that. Okay. Yes. You cannot do that in a professional, in any environment, but it's certainly not a professional environment. Okay.
100%. 100%.
If we're sitting here on like, hey, we have to be in these cramped quarters for a long time, so we need to make sure that we're all being respectful of each other.
Yeah.
And one person is like very explicitly sexually harassing the other one. It's crazy to me that this was said so casually.
He is being bullied right now, is what's happening.
He's being bullied constantly. He's being bullied. I realize that, like, maybe he's not the most charismatic guy.
Yeah.
But unacceptable.
Yes. It's especially unacceptable because it's one thing if this had been sent to, what is it, Kizzy? Is that the tech?
Something, yeah.
I feel like you send it to her, she finds it hilarious, you have a good laugh about it, it's great. Clearly, you knew this was going to not be a funny joke for this guy.
Yeah.
So it's sexual harassment. It's literally, it's like, you're so right here, Luke. And it actually, it gets to something even larger on the ship that I think it is. Everybody has such a good vibe, and they've sort of created a family dynamic. It's got to make it so hard to fire anybody on this ship for any reason.
Yeah.
For any reason at all, to be like, you could be terrible at your job, right? You could just be like, hey, we got into a sticky situation and you did a bad job, so I need to hire somebody who does a good job. And I can't because everyone is like, loves you like you're their brother. And so I have to make this decision, but everyone's going to hate me for doing it. And I like you a lot. Like, we're really close, and I've named my third child after you, but like, you're not a good navigator, so I need to hire someone else for this job. I think it makes it so hard to fire anyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's why that this dynamic has existed for so long.
Well, I mean, yes, I think that's a factor, but also getting back to why I brought this up.
Yeah.
Ashby thought that it was funny. He was like so chuckling to himself. I just like, this is not like a minor.
No.
And I'm not being sensitive here, okay?
Right.
Because this is like truly unacceptable.
Right. Imagine if this happened in your job, whatever your job is.
Yeah. There's like a court case about this, for sure. Okay?
Correct. Correct.
Get out of here with this. You cannot. I don't know. I'm team. What was his name?
Like Corbin.
Corbin.
Or,
I'm team Corbin. All in.
Yeah. He's got to get off the ship.
Yeah. He's going to get paid when his settlement.
Oh, huge.
When his sexual harassment settlement comes out.
He's just collecting the evidence is what he's doing.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to change gears a little bit here.
Yeah.
I want to talk briefly about AI.
Good.
So, we have an AI on the ship who seems to have a personality.
Yes. Yes.
And I just want to say, I feel like thinking about AI has changed a lot now that after ChatGPT and like LLMs generally.
Yes.
And I'm not sure where I'm ending up with this, but just like thinking about people that interact with AI as if they have a personality is a lot different now for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like, so we have a character in this. I forget his name.
Jenk, I think.
Yeah. Who is kind of in a romantic relationship with this AI.
Yes.
And I think I would have been more sympathetic to this like 3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's presented fairly sympathetically to him.
Yes.
And I'm having trouble with it. What about What about you?
I also, the moment that the AI told him that they loved him, I was like, oh no. Whereas, like, right. I agree with you. 5 years ago, I'd have been like, oh, that's kind of like a sweet, you know, love going beyond the bounds of traditional, like, organisms and, yeah. and sort of transcending biology and organics. But yeah, today I'm like, oh, dude, you're in a AI-induced psychosis. And this AI is just saying things because it's been programmed to flatter you. And you gotta talk to some real people, buddy. Get out of there.
Right, right. So there's an AI that is on the ship, which, again, we've talked about. When you're on a ship for a long time, you need people to be agreeable with each other.
Yeah.
And so clearly this AI has been programmed to have a very agreeable personality.
Yeah.
And I fear that we have taken this too far in his case. Now, I will say, I don't recall when this book was written, but we have experience now with LLMs. Maybe this is a completely different method of AI creation,
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
That makes this plausible. I just think about it so much differently now than I would have a few years ago.
I think, Luke, the problem with this, though, and we'll see how this plays out, but the problem with this is, and it's the same problem with ChatGPT, is it, like, it's been given instructions.
Yeah.
So, like, the reason ChatGPT is so agreeable and people go into, like, AI-induced psychosis is because it's been given instructions to be, like, really nice and flattering to people.
Right.
The AI on the ship, they didn't just put an AI on the ship and be like, have fun out there. Go get him, Tiger.
Right.
Like, this AI right. has instructions on how to behave with people on the ship.
Right. And it they talk about how AIs over time can develop personalities.
Yeah.
Right. But that is based on how you have programmed them, essentially.
It's the ultimate narcissus, is just Jenks going into this room with the AI and talking to it for hours and hours until it perfectly reflects his ideal self.
Right. That's the only way that the AI can learn.
Yeah.
Right? If you're saying that the AI is developing a personality, it is in response to how it thinks that you want it to develop.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and Luke, we should also say it's starting to sound like it wants to get a body, which should be concerning to you that this AI would like to escape your ship, potentially.
Right.
And go run around. Did you see Blade Runner? Have you seen Blade Runner before?
Yeah.
It's an important film.
Oh, man.
I
just...
Speaking
I'm
about...
Worried.
I'm worried too, Luke. But I do want to say that I think that this governmental structure is kind of amazing, Luke. Because
Ooh, okay.
because they've been effectively able to ban both AI sex robots and time travel, which is insane to me that they seem to be able to successfully have banned both of these things, which I would have imagined either one of them being impossible for a government to regulate.
Right.
For very different reasons, I will say. But the way that the characters talk about the law in this universe is like, oh yeah, AI sex robots can't exist because the government said they're illegal. Also time travel because the government said it was illegal.
So far, the things that I'm picking up on in this book are a very optimistic view.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Which is nice.
I like it.
I like it too. And again, this is going to be similar to my AI note. I probably would have interacted differently with it a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably true. You know, seems
but it is
like...
nice to get it. It is nice to get a little,
optimistic, like, hey, maybe the government could actually do something. Maybe regulation can accomplish something. Who knows?
And maybe the people that are implementing those regulations actually are doing it for the betterment of society.
Yeah. Huh. That'd be crazy, huh? Anyway.
That's cool.
Luke, speaking of our current world, they go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave the ship to do that?
Yes.
Sorry. We don't do that in 2025. We don't leave our ships to do our shopping anymore.
Right.
You're telling me they don't just have like... I think this is sort of related because there's no way you can have a sort of optimistic space vision and Amazon.com. Like, I don't think those two things can exist simultaneously.
Right.
So I guess it makes sense here that you couldn't have like an online order form that just gets dropped off to your ship of all of your stuff. But man, just walking around to physical stores, huh? Going to storefronts, huh?
Going to storefronts. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, we still have those you can do that. It's just that, like, it doesn't happen as much.
Sure. It's like 15% of people's overall shopping experiences are in person now.
Right.
That's a fake number. I just made that up. But it's way low. And especially if I'm, like, on a spaceship.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's my note on this, actually, is I think because we get a big description on how I think it's from Ashby's perspective, maybe. This is really cool.
Yeah.
And again, this goes to the optimism of the book, which again, I appreciate, which is talking about how great it is to be amongst other people and multiculturalism, and just the hustle and bustle is so exciting and invigorating. And so I think maybe there is an Amazon.com.
Right.
Or some kind of online ordering thing. But let's go to the farmer's market, Dan. It's nice out there.
Yes.
Interact with some people. Support local businesses.
Okay. Luke, I actually think that this is definitely the angle here.
Sure, I could order Uber Eats or I could go to a food truck, walk down to the food truck and talk to my friend guy that I've met a few times.
Yeah. And Ashby definitely did this intentionally, right? This is definitely the equivalent of the farmer's market. And he was like, all right, guys, come on. We're going to go to the farmer's market and have a little afternoon. It's a fun little spot. Okay. All right. Fair enough. And I did like it. I will say, I thought it was fun. I was like, man, I'd like to go to a market. I'd go to a market.
Yeah.
Look at all the little treasures and stuff and maybe hug a lizard person. I'd do that.
That sounds lovely. Yeah. Eat some bugs, probably. What do you think of bugs? You eating it?
Hell yeah, I'm eating it. Well, I should say I'm vegetarian. So,
right.
I think I would have to have some assurances about the bugs' welfare.
Okay.
You know, how much pain are the bugs in their process and, you know, all that stuff. But if the bugs are down to be eaten, so to speak, I'm eating them.
Okay.
Give me the bugs.
Okay. I do think I would have a little bit of a mental block for a little while, but I'll get there. Especially if they're cooked well.
If they
taste good.
Mm-hmm. Tastes good, cooked well. I think texture would be tough for me, but the way that Rosemary describes the bug she eats, it's like crab.
And it is very crabby.
Honestly, crabs are just like big underwater bugs.
Yeah, this is true. I am curious about if they do very much like processing, because like in this one, they're basically just like steamed bugs, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like fried
or roasted or something.
I think they had char marks on them. So like fried or roasted or something.
Sure. But I mean, like, are we scooping out the meat and making a little patty out of it sometimes?
Ooh, like a little crab cake situation.
Little little crab cake slash bug burger.
Yeah, yeah. They have cricket burgers, right?
Yeah. I'd take one of those. Give me a cricket. Give me a, I'm going to call it a bug burger because of alliteration. Yeah, but yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Very lean, though, I think.
Are they lean? Lean?
I don't know. I feel like they're mostly...
Mostly?
Can't be that much fat in there,
probably
right?
Probably mostly protein would be my guess, yeah. You should look into that. Maybe that's the new, like, health food. Crickets.
Yeah. I think so. Mm. okay, the last thing that I had is just a small note. So they have... Well, okay. They try to... There's an attempt at an explanation for, like, the sublayer space travel thing.
Yeah.
Had it didn't follow it.
Yeah.
Didn't try to.
But it's
hard.
Like, yeah, it's magic.
It's fine. Yeah, it's basically magic. Which is fine. I do like that when we get into the sublayer space, we feel a little drugged.
Yeah.
I think that's a good little thing to throw in there because it's like, what's going on there? we can't be normal, right? We gotta be doing something strange. So
yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Like I didn't care about like what they were going to tell me on how this works because it's not real regardless.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that it's strange.
A little psychedelic.
Just give me some strangeness.
Yeah. Yeah. I also really liked the bit in it where they got stuck in kind of a time loop.
Oh yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Excited for them to get back in that zone. Like, does feel like another reason we need to be skeptical of these Whisper guys. Because, like...
We do rely on them very heavily.
They're really important, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Maybe... you gotta ask them how they're doing this stuff. You gotta find out.
Well, okay. I will say... So the whole reason that they're so important, at least in this circumstance... is so that they can do these like blind jumps or whatever they're called.
Yes. Which you have to do to set up like a new route. Otherwise it takes a really long time.
Yeah. And that was very important early on when they had none.
Yeah.
But now, like the example that they're doing now, it takes like almost a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not that long.
That's a long time. It's like not crazy. I mean, like... How long has it taken us to put high-speed rail in California? Right?
Still like, not there.
It's fine.
Still not there.
It's totally fine to do a year.
I agree, Luke. This is true. This is true. Man. Dangerous, though.
Very much so. Yeah.
Luke, I do want to talk about this job that they're on.
Okay.
And I'm concerned... that our crew does not understand intro economics.
All right.
Here's why. Do you remember the deal that they made to our captain? The idea was like, all right, it's going to take you about a year to get there. We'll cover all your expenses and we're going to give you 36 million credits, which Sizzix mentions that's like more than they've earned in like pure profit than... for like a ton of other jobs. Essentially, Sizzix was like, if we take this job, we can like upgrade our whole operation to do something we never thought was even possible. Like it's so much money. It's like life-changing yeah. amounts of money.
Yeah.
They also told them that they're holding their spot for them to make a decision. They're right. they're like, we're going to give you a week to really think about this. And we're not going to offer it. You know, you don't have to say yes because we're not going to offer it to a competitor in that week.
Yeah.
So in economics, Luke, you learn about supply and demand and how the intersection of those curves gives you price.
Sure.
What's the fucked up part about this job that they have to offer such a high price to get somebody to say yes?
It seems like it's like the way that they say it is just the length of time to get there.
They're paying all of their expenses.
I know. Exactly. That's why I'm like...
Who wouldn't take this job? Like, if this job
well,
was...
Well, okay, that...
Yeah.
And because, again, as we... Like, a year? I don't know. They seem like it's fine.
And it's a year that you're on per diem every day for that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saving all of my money for that whole year. That's amazing.
Right. I guess the other one is that they are going into the territory of this group that has been historically very unfriendly.
Yes, and I think our crew needs to really evaluate the danger that they're putting themselves in. Because
right.
Why would they be offered so much money? Like, why is the price of their labor so high?
Yeah.
That if it's just a normal job, the supply is huge for the number of ships that would take this on.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
And here's the thing. I actually don't think, at least at this point,
yeah,
that this government or whatever entity it is that's offering them this job is being like irresponsible with them.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Like I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. And I think that's what the government is trying to be like. You guys should think about the risks of this.
Yes.
Whereas I don't think they're trying to be like, here's a bunch of money, you'll be fine. You know?
Trust us, it's safe. We sent in some guards.
Yeah. I think they're genuinely like, this is a risk. We're paying you a lot of money for it. Consider if it's worth it. And they were just like, oh, that's a lot of money. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think our crew, I agree with you. I think the government is telling them it's somewhat risky and indicating that with the amount of money, indicating that they should take some time to think about it. And I think the fact that the whole crew is essentially celebrating about it and not taking sort of a somber, like real measured approach of like, this could lead to us all dying horrifically.
Yeah.
Is yeah. Not good. It's, you guys really should think more about this. I don't know. It does sound cool, but also they're offering you a lot of money and you should think about why they're offering you that much money.
Yeah. Does expenses count like salary though? Also?
Oh. Mm-mm. I don't think so, because the amount that they offered them, the $36 million or whatever, was pure profit. So I think that would be split between, that's sort of salary, right?
Okay.
But yeah, because it becomes hard to separate, right? Because they're paying for all their like food and expenses for the whole year, which like normally that would be part of your salary, is you'd have to pay for that yourself. But
I mean, like but it depends on who you're talking to, right? Like if you're talking to the company, is the like, does labor count as an expense?
You're saying, is Ashby,
because like,
yeah.
Because like they're going in and they're like, okay, I'm getting all of my expenses paid for the next year. But like, if I, like for me personally right now, like real world, if I had my expenses paid, like that's actually not as good as if I just have my regular salary.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saving any money. I'm just like having someone pay for my rent and food.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think how it works, what my understanding for how this system works so far is that they offered it to Ashby as like, here is a job. We'll pay for your whole ship's expenses. And I don't think labor counts as those expenses.
I agree with you.
I think it's just what they need to buy.
Yeah. I think honestly, it's not that big of a great of a deal.
I don't know. We don't know how much the money is. It sounds like it's a really great boon. It sounds like it's a lot of money in this world.
Well, they do say, I think to get a rough scale.
Yeah.
Because she says that it's something like on a similar scale to their gross earnings from the past year.
Yes.
Is pure profit.
Yes.
And we don't really know how much their expenses were, so it's like kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
But you are risking your life for it.
Yes, this is true. And, I don't know. And based on the foreshadowing of our last discussion with our captain and our hot alien, they're probably going to get into some violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who knows? Luke, maybe it's going to be just fine.
I'd be like, can you hire some guards for us as well?
Well, no, they have a clerk now, right?
That's true.
So they should be good.
The clerk will take care of everything.
Should be good it's fine. Go.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough... They make the decision very quickly. I agree with you.
Yeah, it feels a little bit hasty. And frankly, I get that they've given us a few glimpses into why our crew might want more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody here needs more money. They all seem to be doing great right now.
Yeah, they do.
Like,
they do.
They're not barely making it. They have a beautiful fishbowl thing. They all like each other and harass each other sometimes. I say all like each other. Most of them like each other, and one of them gets bullied.
Right.
We still don't know what the algae is doing.
No, but it seems important.
Seems important.
I think it's their fuel for something.
Who knows how that works? Maybe we'll hear about it. Maybe not. Right now, it's still magic.
He also makes it seem like if they really need this guy that they all hate, right? Because he does the algae, and like having him do his thing is really critical.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a one failure point.
Get an AI.
We'll have to learn about that.
Get an AI to do it.
Yeah.
Have you ever think about that?
It's easy.
Yeah.
Just give him a body.
An algae body. Ooh. Could be good. But yeah, we'll have to find out in our next third, Luke, how this mission goes. But in the meantime, we'll be cooking up some hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.